You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 57 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dio Morales, and today I am joined by FAQ My App, Nate Moore.
Where's my FAQ? Where's my FAQ at?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. FFG sold
my FAQ.
No. Nope.
I feel like
and
I should say more things.
It's that's all you get. And the Strezra, William Hagley.
Leave Miranda alone.
No, you gotta say it like you're a prepubescent little girl. Like, leave Miranda alone. All you want is more.
Exactly.
Welcome back, 2008.
Yep. So our plan today is we're going to be talking to Steve Cameron of Cascade Games about the newly added System Open series and also discussing reasons why you choose to bring a list to an event. And specifically, we're going to be focusing on Worlds. Now, gentlemen, before we jump into our main topic, I do want to talk about the Goldie Awards. Okay. So if you haven't seen on our Facebook page, we posted out all of the nominations. If you go to goldsquadronpodcast.com, there's a link there. All the nominations, everybody who's going to be nominated and recognized. And one thing I wanted to do, William, okay? I want to do a raffle as part of this whole thing. And I want to get you and Andrew, to sign the Loop and Chewy set that you guys played on stream.
Yeah.
And I want to raffle it off.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
This is Loop and Chewy.
I bought my own Loop and Chewy, so I'll have a replacement easily.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to, like, I have the original set. And I was like, man, this is history. This is X-Wing history right here. What can we do with it? Let's give it away. So
what
we're
about
gonna,
the dice app that was used to help William win the System Open? Huh?
You can't raffle off an app.
You can raffle off my phone that has the app that won the System Open for William.
I'm gonna donate a $5 gift card for the App Store to get only the FFG app.
You have to download it in front of us, like right there. Input the code. Okay, next. Yeah, and we have a couple of other prizes that are going to be part of the raffle. People watching at home, I will show you. We have an awesome painting done by one of our locals. His name is Jerry. Let me go ahead and grab it.
Oh, Jerry's paintings are really good.
So it's a Poe Dameron like abstract art painting. Super awesome. So that's going to be part of our world's raffle. We're going to have some other GSP swag and t-shirts and stuff. And then also, excuse me, and also the Loop and Chewy, the famous Loop and Chewy set. Who should we have signed a third paddle? Chewy. William, who do you think?
Who was on the stream with it? Was that, wasn't that Duncan that was on the third one?
Yeah, it's either got to be Duncan or Chris Brown.
I mean, I think, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have each of you sign. So we'll have Duncan, Andrew, and yourself sign the paddles. And then on the centerpiece, because I have the whole set, on the centerpiece, we'll have Chris Brown sign that part.
That's pretty good.
Does that work?
Yeah, sounds good.
I approve. Yeah. All right.
Cool. We'll make that happen. So the raffle tickets and stuff will be on sale there. And it just goes towards paying for this whole thing. The Goldies, it's gotten a little bit expensive. I spent more money than I wanted to. And I figured, like, all right, let's a fun way to recoup some of those costs. But yeah, so if you're going to be at Worlds, whether you were nominated for stuff or not, you are definitely invited. And there'll be some light refreshments, and it's BYOB. So Bring your drink and let's have a good time.
Unlock the hologram.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our next interview in our interview series. Today, I am with Steve Cameron of Cascade Games. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me, Dion.
No problem. And before we go too far, I do want to say a huge thank you for all the work you've done with the System Open series and how closely you have worked with me with getting all of the streams up and running and all the help you've given me. So I want to say thank you before we go any farther.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's been great having you there and making sure that these events are getting out to the public. So, it's all about trying to help build a community. And you've done just as much hard work, Dion. So thanks.
No problem, man. No, we're a team, right? We make it work together.
That's right.
All right. So, Birdie told me that there's some big events coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we announced this past weekend, confirmed some final, and there may still be one more that's unconfirmed, but hopefully I'll have that in the next couple of days. But the big news is confirming at Origins, which is coming up on June 3rd. The show lasts forever. It's like 13th through 17th or whatever, right?
Yep.
And so pre-registration for that event will be through the Origins website because that's how that one goes down. So keep your eyes peeled on the Origins website. And if you were thinking about going to Origins but weren't sure, hopefully this is the kicker for you. So in a full run of events there, an X-Wing Open, Destiny Galactic Qualifiers, and Legend of the Five Rings Kotai. So something for all of the FFG fans out there.
For that event, is it going to be for the System Open event, is it going to be a Saturday-Sunday event?
I believe so. I've been going back and forth on the schedule, and I think we've actually got that as Friday-Saturday. We've had to do a lot of staggering of the big events to make sure there's room for everything. So
okay.
Right now the System Open is set for Friday-Saturday.
Friday-Saturday?
Main stage Friday, finals on Saturday.
Okay, awesome. And then we have something coming up in Seattle as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there was the original plan had been to partner with Evergreen Tabletop Expo, and those folks found out, unfortunately, that they need to put a pause button on their show this year. They're making some changes. They're going to come back bigger and better next year. And our plan is to reintegrate with them, but it left a little bit of a void for the big tabletop events in the Pacific Northwest. And so we stepped up to run again all three events: X-Wing Open, Destiny Galactic Qualifier, and L5R Grand Kotai, and then helped out FFG with a Netrunner National Championship, a Rune Wars National Championship, and a Game of Thrones Regional Championship. All that same weekend, and that's June 23rd and 24th. I think that's the Saturday and Sunday. Big FFG weekend for I think all the games. I think we're just doing all the games.
Yeah, man, you just throw a little bit of Legion in there. I literally think you have their catalog.
Yeah, it'd be pretty close to it. Everything that's got a competitive piece to it. So, it's I'm really excited about it. It's another standalone event, so no having to mess with getting a badge or anything. So hopefully that will help bring the masses out, and it should just be a really great weekend in Seattle. Lots of tabletop gaming.
That's awesome. I'm excited to make another trip out there to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. These are the only reasons why I can go, right? Yeah. Is being able to do this kind of stuff. So it's super cool. So I do want to, we got the dates out there. If anybody watching live or listening in the future, go ahead, jump on that Origins website, get pre-registered for this event. If you're up in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm sure Cascade probably, do you guys already have the registration for that one?
Pre-reg for the Seattle event, all the events there is on our website. So yes, please check that out. Get signed up so we can make sure that we've got enough tables.
Yep. Yeah, that's important. And we'll have all the links will be in the episode description, wherever you're listening or watching. We'll get all those posted. And then Steve, I wanted to just move into just asking some things about you know, this big really undertaking that you guys have at Cascade Games. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of really passionate people about X-Wing. Yeah. We really like our events. We want them run well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys started at PAX South and or not PAX South, PAX Unplugged.
Yes.
Right. Year. Unplugged. And now you got a few system opens under your belt. And the first question I want to ask is, what are some things that you and your team have learned that have improved the quality of the events from event to event?
I think, you know, the main thing has been just getting familiar with the community and continuing to kind of build rapport with everybody. You know, like personally, I'm really excited that I show up at events and I'm like, oh, I recognize a bunch of those names. Like it's great to, just kind of get some grounding in the community. I mean, in terms of event management and that type of thing, we've been doing this for a long time. So we've applied a lot of the main stuff that we've already learned. But just, you know, integrating how Fantasy Flight does their prizing on these things has been kind of a new twist. And making sure that everybody, you know, gets the right stuff and gets it in a timely fashion and that kind of thing is kind of probably been one of the learning curves for us that we've been working through. And then, ultimately what we've figured out is that really, you know, having quality people at these things, is really just the most important thing of all. And to that end, we've certainly been staffing, we've been, sourcing staff through our website. But we have just, launched this weekend, the beginnings of, I guess you call it a judge program, but we now have certification tests on our site for, X-Wing, Destiny, and L5R. So we're really looking to kind of step up the application process, make sure we're doing a better job of vetting people. When we bring judges to a show, the players can be confident that, you know, these folks have gone through some sort of process that says, you know, that tests their familiarity with the rules and, you know, odd situations and all that kind of stuff. So and that stuff is just went live on our site this weekend. So really kind of the beginnings of, like, say, certification program around, you know, a bigger endeavor, not just for these games, but, you know, all the publishers and games that we work with. We want to be able to provide the best possible play experience for everybody. And this is how we're going to do it.
You know, the fact that you guys are putting forth time and resources to putting together a judge program and some type of certification is something that the community, at least X-Wing wise, has really been clamoring for. Just like you said, to have the confidence to know that, you know, this person that I've never met before has at least gone through some type of screening to know that he at least knows the basic rules of the game. I think that's huge. I know that once the word on this gets out to the major X-Wing community, the fact that you guys are doing this, I think it's they're going to be really excited. Was this something that you guys came to a decision, FFU and FFG, or you guys just made the decision and said, we're going to try to get people higher quality judges?
I mean, I think, you know, certainly we discussed it with them, but for us as an organization, it's really a logical step. You know, you can have events and you can run events, but at the backbone of all of it is the staff you have. And, you know, I think if you're looking at running a quality event, you have to have quality people. And this was just sort of a good evolution for us, to not only be able to bring the expertise of the mechanics of running the tournament, but to build a legitimate, certified group of judges and staff people that that, you know, when anybody's coming to a Cascade Games event, they'll be like, yeah, we know that there's not going to be any trouble with judge calls or weirdness, right? Because they're on top of it, and like you said, they've devoted the time and resources into to making sure that these events run smoothly and avoid as much as they can, you know, weird rules, you know, conflagrations and stuff. And
yeah,
it's a lot of games and there's a lot of rules, right? So, we're happy to kind of up the bar and take this step towards improving that whole event experience overall.
Are there any known marshals or judges that are helping you build that certification for X-Wing?
Well, I think most of the marshals that people are probably familiar with at the events we've run, right? Ian Hamp, Brent Wong, and Chris Brown have all marshaled our events, and we drew on them for some of the testing certification and things like that, and coming up with questions. And I think that those guys are all fairly, you know, well known and respected in the community. So certainly they have gotten lots of independent praise from the community that we have seen and has been passed on to us. And so that's where our trust from for them comes.
Yeah, I mean, they do great work. And like you said, I mean, they run some of the tightest events that I've been at. So good call leaning on them to get that done for sure.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure to work with those guys. They're all really top notch people. And I know when I'm in an event and when those guys are there, that everything is going to be just fine. Right. Like, I honestly it's amazing how, few complaints across now, gosh, I think I'm up to having attended like 7 or 8 of these things across the last 2 years. And in terms of like people complaining about, judging and whatnot, it just hasn't happened at the X-Wing Opens. Right. And it's been, you know, based around, you know, this solid core of marshals that we've had.
Awesome. All right. So I'd like to move into talking about how you guys go about choosing where system opens are placed. Does FFG come to you and say like, all right, you have X number of system opens, figure it out? Or like, hey, we want a little sprinkled here, a little sprinkled there. Like what's the process and the communication between you and FFG and choosing where those go?
Yeah. So, a little bit of both really. Right. So they kind of set the bar on how many they want to have, and they've got a couple of places that, you know, they definitely want to be. And then the rest is up to us. Right. And so, you know, so we look at, you know, how well, we want to spread them geographically, obviously. And then how does that fit into, how it fits into the convention schedule we're already hitting. And we tried some different things this year in terms of going to more conventions, but trying to keep them focused, right, in stuff that's relevant. So, I mean, PAX Unplugged was successful. The system open at Adepticon, which was huge last year, was enormous again this year, right? The biggest open that we have run was at Adepticon. Yep. So, you know, sometimes it makes sense in the conventions. They've got to be focused. And then sometimes it makes sense to run them standalone. So I think, you know, we've learned a lot. Back to your first question about what have we learned, right? We did 4 of them last year. We did them all standalone except for one at Emerald City Comic Con, which was the poorest attended, honestly, right? And so we took a step back from that type of show, but refocused in on, so what's the right kind of show to put these in? I think we've done at the shows that we've put them in, they have been, you know, pretty successful this year. And then and then fill in the standalone events around it, right? And this year our rollout and announcement of these different events, while there may have been some drama involved in like having it wait, we weren't particularly happy with this kind of tiered rollout of oh, now we're announcing these three, now we're announcing these two, now we're announcing these three. And so what I can promise the community is that we have every intention next year at PAX Unplugged of which will be the first one again, right? And I think PAX Unplugged is sort of a solid jumping off point to kind of the season. It's after all the Worlds and Core Sun Invitationals and all that kind of stuff. Our goal next year is to have everything lined up, ready to go, spread out across the country. And so people can plan exactly which, three or four they may want to hit and where they want to go and what's near them. But that's a general goal, right? Is I'd love to give everybody, one that's, less than a day's travel and a couple more that are, less than a day's drive, I should say. And then a couple more that are, a quick flight. And then if you're real hardcore and you want to fly all over the country doing all of them, knock yourself out. But,
right.
But that's kind of what we're doing. And there's some gaps geographically this year. And we're going to do everything we can to fix those next year.
All right. Well, I think that leads right into my next question. I know that the community that there's a big portion of my audience in the Southeast of the United States that they went as far as to create a petition. I don't know if you've seen it, Steve. There's 300 plus signatures on the petition saying, FFG Cascade Games, can we please get a system open? I know it might be probably too late for this year, but I wanted to make sure that it was, brought to your attention that these people, they want some X-Wing. They want it.
Yeah. Well, I love that kind of stuff, right? That kind of stuff for me defines, the X-Wing community and the level of passion and all of that. And personally, I think it's fantastic. Unfortunately, it's a little late this year to try and lock down a Southeast one. But like I said before, we recognize some regional gaps. And as we move into next year, that 300 plus signatures, and I've gotten some emails which I haven't had a chance to reply to. So if you're listening, I got your email. I'm swamped with a bunch of stuff and I will get back to you. But unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen this year, but definitely I think, I think something like Atlanta probably needs a system open, and we can see what we can do about that.
All right. All right. So I know my listeners are going to be real happy about hearing that their cries have not fallen on deaf ears.
No, no one should ever think that we're not listening, right? Because without the community and the feedback from the community, there's no way these things get better. And there's no way, there's no way that we learn without listening to you guys. So yeah, please, never stop talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you so much for your time, man. We have upcoming again, we have Origins, we have the standalone Seattle system open. We also have KublaCon in San Francisco. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. KublaCon is your next opportunity after Worlds for a big event. I know that they are getting scarce on hotels out there, and that their pre-registration closes on May 4th. That's another one. You register directly with KublaCon for that open. So please, if you were thinking about hitting that one up, definitely get on it and get set up so you don't get, left in some ratty Airbnb, 40 miles from the venue. So,
right. Exactly.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them. Not simply their battle tactics, but their history, philosophy, art.
All right, gentlemen. So we have Worlds coming up in a couple weeks, 3 weeks or something like that now. And it's time to, if you don't know what list you're going to play by now, like me, you're in a weird place.
Well, why are you... You've made a pretty good staple of flying your list and everything, and we've actually known like a lot of people who actually listen to you and actually play your list. In fact, that's how Allie beat one component, because she knew they basically stole your list and she knew how to fly against it. So,
yeah. Actually, I'm going to just probably end up flying the thing that I've been doing, but that's part of our, let's go through our discussion here.
Okay.
There's lots of different reasons why people bring a list to an event. Well, let's talk about Worlds, right? We have, this is the premier event of the year. One person will be crowned the world champion. There's going to be 16 people at that top cut, and people are going to be looking up to them and saying, hey, those people made X choices and had the right amount of matchups and all these things that come into getting that far in a world championship. And the first reason you bring a list, I would say, is because if you're going with the intent as I want to win Worlds, that would be the first way to go ahead and think about it, is I want to win Worlds. What is the kind of list I need to bring? And, you know, wanting to win Worlds, there's a lot of different ways and avenues you can go just seeking that out. So that is whether you're bringing the top meta list right now. You know, if you go into Meta Wing, you have, you know, your Ghost Fen and your
Strezra.
Go ahead. Nimiranda, you know, though, like Nimiranda, the Ghost Fen and the Williams type of list, where you have Strezra. What people have been calling it, Stress Bunker? Are you using that name, William?
I think it's called the Hangover.
No, it's actually a variant. Zach Matthews called all of the ego variants that have Ezra in them Mark 7. So it's
the Stress.
So it's ego Mark 7. The Stressor Awakens. But no, it's it to me, it's just an ego list. It's just like as if I'm running Biggs in the Stress Hog Y, or if you're running like Biggs and Braylon.
So
it's
those style. Lists right now are definitely, they're at the top of the meta. They've won a lot of events, and you know, people who are going there just to win. You know, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. Understand that, but you know, if that is your intent, your first thought is, I need to bring the best list.
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously gonna, like, if you want to try to win the world championship, you're gonna bring the best list. You're not gonna bring a list that you're like, oh, I don't know, 5 rebel operatives. You're not gonna bring something like that. You're gonna bring the best gear, the best things. You're not gonna, like, you know, that's a given.
Right. And then I would say that the next branch really closely connected to that one is an anti-meta list. And I'm not saying that it's like a casual quote unquote list. What I'm saying is that I know that the best lists are X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to bring the thing that is the silver bullet to those things. Now I will say that I'm really curious to see what is it that people are going to bring that are those silver bullets, because I know in my own playtesting, I have not found one list that can consistently beat Ghost Fen, Ego Variants, and Nimiranda. Like you're going into world saying, I need to beat those three lists. Like, those are the three most powerful lists that are out there. How do I beat them? Is there a list that beats them all? And I haven't found it. What are your guys' thoughts on that right now? Anti-meta lists.
I agree. I don't know anything that can beat all three of them consistently. They're all just three very, very powerful lists. And even if you pin them against each other, they can't even consistently beat each other either. Right? It's kind of funny how Nimiranda can't really beat Fen all the time, or Lothal Fen. Lothal Fen can't always beat them. It's really a weird circle of power here. I was to say.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to figure that out is one of the next steps. Now, let's go to the totally other side of the pendulum. You know, Worlds is a great opportunity to get a bunch of X-Wing games in with a bunch of people who came to play X-Wing. So some people just bring lists sometimes to have fun. Meaning, like, I really like flying X-Ship, and I'm going to build a list around it, and I don't care if it's good or not. I don't care if I go, you know, 0-7 on day one. I just want to play. And that's absolutely fine. Like, that's in any event, you can, that is one of the ways you can go about it is just like, I just want to play. And understand this, you know, I'm going to take a step back here. None of these reasonings that we talk about today are correct or wrong. And I think in a perfect world, they kind of, as many as of the categories as you can get kind of smashed together will probably be the best. But, you know, that's just something to think about. But anyway, back into it. You know, I want to have fun. Like, I know that if I wasn't trying to be competitive at Worlds, I would probably end up bringing some type of janky squad for sure. You know, something like I built this really fun. It's a 5-ship. I called it Tugs, Bugs, and Thugs. it's Y-wings, the tugboats, and Z-95s. And it's just, it's 6 ships. It's 5 ships, and I can make it 6, but 5 works better. And it's just a lot of fun. I got a lot of guns, a lot of little tools. And I haven't won a game with it yet, but it's just really fun to play. Like, it, you got a lot of ships, a lot of decisions to make, and it's great. And if I had no intent of trying to win it, like, that's probably what I would end up bringing, would be an example of that. And I want people to understand that, like, don't, there's two sides to this. Don't underestimate somebody who brings their quote unquote fun list, because sometimes those are the lists that can take you out if you don't know how to play against it. And on the other, go ahead.
It's a sleeper hit and everything, because we like, we're used to the main, like, yo, builds and the main meta pieces. But yeah, there's always that sleep hit. You're like, oh, I didn't think about that. And then when you get to do their one kind of trick, it can totally blindside you, and you go, oh, like, I've seen people do some weird thing with like Wolf of Varro, and they're able to pump up his shots, and you're just like, ouch, that really hurts, and that's not fun. So, no, I think that. We're all used
for them.
I know. It's always kind of funny when, like, you're like, oh, like, I get what you're doing, and then it's too late, because then you felt the full brunt of it, and you're like, well, now I have to redouble my efforts. It's never good to underestimate your opponent. That's like, you know, War Games 101.
Mm-hmm. And and then the other side is when you see somebody bringing their fun list, your instant reaction shouldn't be like, hey, why'd you bring that? Like, don't you know that's bad? Like, I haven't seen that in person, but I hope that never happens to somebody. But just make sure that you understand, like, hey, their intentions for the tournament could be different than yours.
They might have a fun day playing against some really high level people, and
right,
you know, playing on the world stage. Why the hell not?
Exactly.
Even though it might be a fun thing, it's just like, whatever.
Yep. I mean, and that's the ideally, right? You're playing competitive and fun games.
Well, the only way I see that some people getting frustrated with that is obviously the people who wanted to get tickets and somehow weren't able to get tickets and go, man, well, that guy's playing like this non-list, and here I have my super competitive list, and they got a ticket over me kind of situation. Though, and I get both sides to that, so...
Yeah, but there's nothing you can do about that. So
no.
you gotta let it roll.
Yeah.
So, and then the next category is the category, honestly, that I fall into, and it is the, why'd you bring this list? Like, because I practiced it a lot. So I honestly, you know, those big three lists that we talked about, right? The Ego variants with Strezra, the Nim Miranda, and the Ghost Fen. I do not have good matchups against them. Do I have plans and how to beat them? Sure. But it's
an uphill battle.
It is a very much uphill battle for all three of those matchups. I know that there's a very high chance that I'm going to see those. But I have put so much time into my Kylo into Gumboats play that I feel like if I were to switch off and try to go to something that's more like anti-meta, or some type of variation on the current meta list, that I would be putting myself at a disadvantage because I haven't put in the time and practice.
You haven't had practice with it. And then as like Zach likes to say, there's always that middle jink and everything where you might have that, that whole thing where you're trying to go against like, oh, I'm preparing just to go against these metas, but you might not ever face those metas either. I spent all my time for the system open trying to practice against Fen Lothals, and I don't really go against any. Or I spent all this time trying to go against, you know, Hagwood's build, and I didn't go against any. So it's kind of like this thing. Or like back in the day when people used to do those anti-Sutra Fell builds where it's like, oh, Decimator with Darth Vader and Sutra Fell, ha! But then they would never go against a single Sutra Fell and get messed up by like what? Like three X-Wings? So right. That's what they talk about, the middle jank.
Yeah, so you gotta respect it for sure. But yeah, so that's personally where I am at right now. Is I've put in like 100 plus games now with Kylo Ren, and there's nothing else that I currently feel comfortable enough to go into this high level of a tournament and perform. I was honestly, part of my practicing for it and continuing to practice it is as we were getting closer to Worlds, I was really hoping to see an FAQ.
Oh yeah, me too.
And man, because if there was, I think like my list, Kylo and the two boats.
Oh, that would have risen up for sure.
Would have probably been the next thing to get nerfed after that. But I would have had a lot more work than other people and been like ahead of the curb, but hasn't happened. So I gotta hope for good matchups.
Well, should we talk about that? Like, should we talk about the fact that there is no FAQ and the fact like all the other games got one, and we all anticipated that there was going to be this big change, and they kind of outright said nope.
So we'll hit that at the backside. That's a good thing. We'll definitely bring that up. But I want to keep on our topic here.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the other reason you might bring a list or. Better yet, not bring a list, is you might have personal barriers or restrictions that you put on yourself that you don't allow yourself to do X or Y or Z, and that's why you're bringing this other list. So, for instance, I had a conversation through our Gold Squadron podcast Facebook page, and somebody said, hey, I have this list, and I want to know any suggestions you have for it, but I, as a personal thing, I do not use regen. So, any tweaks minus telling me to add regen. And I was like, oh, okay. And you know, this is not the first time I've gotten an email or message like that. So I was fine. But I remember the first time I got one of those, it was really strange to me. But I've started to understand because with myself, I have started to put restrictions on how and what I play. Like even when I picked up Kylo and the two boats, I knew that I was like, man, I really should be practicing something with bombs. I really, really should. But I don't want to. So I'm not going to. Like that was the conversation. That was it. It's not because I hate them or anything. It's just I've put that restriction on myself. And is that a good thing? Probably not. Like competitively, it's not. But it has helped me like have more fun like in my own games and in the decision making that I get to make. And it works for me. And there's other people who are on the other side who say, I will simply play whatever I feel like it, whatever's good, which I'm... You know, and the other part is some people faction lock themselves. They say, I am a scum player. That's probably the most, widely common version of this is saying, I am an X player. And I find that's really common.
Imperial players that say that too. Usually Imperial players that usually are like, no, I'm an Imperial player and they only do Imperial stuff. I've seen, I've only seen one Rebel only player. I think that's Jack Ballard. So,
well, I feel like there's a lot of people who come from like other war games where where the factions, like there are more factions and that's more of a thing. Like you could end up committing to a certain faction. But yeah, I've always found that interesting. And like I don't faction lock myself. Like I lately have been playing Imperials because it happened. But even before this, I was playing a bunch of Scum. And before that, I played a bunch of Rebels. And I'll just play whatever I please. Dang it.
Yeah, I think so. We've all tried to switch around a lot. There are the few that are just locked in. But I feel like to really understand every ship and every nuance and really understand what the other person is doing and their positioning, you have to kind of play everything. Just like in other video games, like, you know, if you're playing any of these competitive ones, like, I don't know, Overwatch or League of Legends, it helps you to understand, like, your opponent if you know your opponent's abilities and moves and their setups and what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like knowing your enemy, making sure that you know how they play. So what I want to do now, guys, I already talked about myself and kind of the reasoning why I chose the list I did. William, why are you, I mean, you're going to be flying, I'm assuming your ego variant that you have been just kicking so much butt with, right?
Yeah, I'm in the category of way too many reps to change. I've been flying a similar build like competitively for basically a year straight now.
Yeah, it's a bit similar to this last year too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same list. I just trade out like the ships and then trade the cluster mines for a harpoon missile. Mm-hmm. But for me, yeah, it's basically the same list. So yeah, just so many reps that I can't not fly. I mean, I could switch, but I definitely won't have the same expectations. I think I could reasonably go 5-1 with the list I'm flying. And like I don't think I can get those results with any other list at this time.
Nate, where do you think you're at? Where do you fall in?
I don't know. I'm like debating that too right now. Is that I'm in the moment where like I might change one or two pieces because I feel like my list is just struggling so hard against the Fen players. It's struggling against you know, Will's build. Everything else it does fairly okay. Against the Nimiranda, it's sometimes an uphill battle and it's like a 50-50 shot.
For clarification, that you're talking about your Rey Miranda build?
Yes. Sorry.
No, you're
so
good.
I'm kind of like in the middle here. It's like, oh, okay, do I try to switch something or do I try to just, you know, stick it out and everything? Is like what I'm good at what I play, but I mean, not people don't even have to be exceptionally good though. Sometimes it's just the Will's build is such a hard counter to what I fly that it just becomes such a pain. And if it's everywhere, I mean, if you're flying around as a, you know, a rock and there's paper everywhere, you're gonna lose.
That does happen. Now you know, we have 3 weeks left, and if I told you had to choose today whether you are going to fly Rey Miranda or do something different, you don't have to tell me what the different thing is. What would you do? You have to sign up for Worlds right now. What is it?
I might try the new thing.
New thing? Okay. There you go. Because
I need something different, and I feel like I've stunted my gameplay and my style because I feel like I'm being different, and I'm playing, basically I'm botching myself right now because I've been using the same thing. I'm trying to make this thing work. I'm trying all these weird finesse things that I've kind of lost sight of what the original point and the things I fly are. So...
Okay, cool. I know that's fine. Yeah, you're being true to yourself, man. I like it. So while this has been, you know, this part has been a shorter discussion, I do think that these are important things to realize why you bring a list. And I think if you have the conviction to understand why you bring the list, I think you have a much easier time choosing what to do. You know, this whole topic came up with actually a conversation I was having with my wife last week. I had been texting the guys, and William and Nate know in the chat. I'm like, oh, you know, what about this list? What about this list? I sent them a picture of like six different lists I was thinking about on my table and all this. And, you know, my wife and I, we talk about all kinds of stuff, you know, X-Wing and yeah, she doesn't play, but she's smart enough to just kind of talk through some of it with me. And I was explaining, you know, what I was, all these different things. And she just asked me, she asked, why are you playing? Like, why are you going to this event? And so that's where we started kind of the tree. And she goes, do you want to win? And I was like, yeah, I would like to win. She's like, okay, cool. So, you know, do you want to take something that you're good at already, or something that gives you a higher percentage chance, but you have a lower, you know, lower skill with? And I was like, oh, you know what? That's really true. And we kind of, we talked through that. And in the end, I was like, all right, I'm playing Kylo in the boats. Like, that's where I ended up, because I was like, yes, I want to win. I have the most reps with this, rather than trying to change to something else that is quote unquote more meta, but I have less experience with, meaning that's less tactics. All the work that I've put in tactically is not necessarily irrelevant, but it's not as useful, you know, mm-hmm. with different pieces. So thank you to her for this topic. And Nate, I will go ahead and transition into that little mini topic you want to talk about, and that is the non-FAQ that we got or didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, well, what were we anticipating from this FAQ? We were anticipating probably something nerfing the Lothal, but not necessarily nerfing the Lothal itself, mainly nerfing its main gun, which is TLT, right? A lot of people are like, TLT is too present in everything. TLT is such a huge presence, and had been such a huge presence, that people are just kind of, a lot of people are clamoring for a nerf. And even myself, when I'm a TLT user, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how they nerf it, if it's kind of like fair or something, right? Like I said, FFG tends to nerf things that, or actually Ron, Gold Squadron Leader, Ron Longi was the one who always kind of said they tend to nerf things that don't require skill. And so if you think about some of the older things that they nerf, like Manaru didn't really require skill. You flyer to the other end of the board and you reap the benefits. Or X7 didn't really require skill because you can fly like an idiot through debris and everything and you still would get the evade. And then Zuckus and, you know, Emperor, which I still don't, you know, it's whatever on those.
Well, I would say just to kind of add an addendum to what you said, I wouldn't say necessarily no skill, but that it has a lower threshold for being able to be use it effectively.
Yeah, and like, exactly. And it requires a little bit more foresight, like, you know, a perfect example is like X7. It's like, now you have to learn to kind of fly it well. Yeah, you can go fast, but if you don't do it, if you knock into something, you get nothing, right? Whereas before, I was like, oh, well, I'll do this, you know, K-turn through this debris because that puts me now behind something and I'll be stressed, sure, but I'll also get an evade. Or I'll do a purpose 3 straight into the other person bump because I'll get the evade anyways. And there's a lot of moments like that with X7. So they took that away. Atani they nerfed because they felt like, well, Atani did require like some finesse and everything and some planning. They just felt like, well, it's too easy to make mistake and still just reap all these benefits from it. So those are the things they tend to nerf. With regards to now, like the Ghost, to be honest, the Ghost is not the hardest thing to fly. It's not, especially when you're boosting all these other things. Ghost Fen is not hard to fly. A lot of people meet that. Yes, you have to anticipate things. Yes, you have to know when to turn in and use, you know, your front cannons or your back cannons and things like that. But in general, it's not really hard. So at that point, because it's just always going to do like 4 damage and everything, that's probably the thing that we thought we're going to nerf typically with by nerfing TLT. The other thing that we thought was coming too was a Miranda nerf. And we talked about this ad nauseum, basically saying, well, how are they going to do it? Maybe that she could only regen with her main gun. Maybe she could only fire like a pump up shots with her main gun. Or maybe she can't use TLT to do things like that. And I felt like that was fair. You know, I felt like the Miranda has been in the spotlight for a long time. I felt like, yeah, that's cool. you know, kind of drop her down a little bit. Harpoons, obviously we said, spend the target lock, it makes harpoons, you know, kind of fair again because of the fact that, you know, well, you have all these other things that cost the same amount of points. You do significantly less than harpoons for the same price. Why would you use any of these other armaments, any of these other missiles or torpedoes or anything when you could use that? It's the best bang for your buck. It does so much. It's so easy to modify it, etc. And so then we thought that that was going to be nerfed. So we, I mean, are there any other things that we anticipated were going to be kind of taken down a peg?
Well, I think you hit a lot of the big ones. I think the next part of this is that we didn't get anything, and FFG, I don't know if you guys have seen or heard, listeners, is they replied to a tweet from Alex Smittle. He's a Midwest player. He's out of Missouri, and he simply said, "It's like, hey, he asked something along the lines of like, hey, just want to know if I need to practice what I'm currently doing, or there's an FAQ coming 2 weeks before Worlds," kind of really like tongue in cheek. And they just said, oh, there's no FAQ planned. And everybody went like, okay. Right. So there was a myriad of reactions. There was some people who were surprised that we weren't getting anything because there was this slew of, you know, every game, even the trading card game, which is quote unquote dead now, got some type of rules fix. But I wonder for a couple things. So we got the like emergency FAQ from the trajectory simulator NIM thing, right? You guys remember that? So we got the trajectory simulator nerf. And I'm curious to know, you know, obviously I don't have any inside information on this, if maybe that FAQ was part of what we would have gotten before Worlds, but because it was like that was significantly more abusive, like the genius plus like being able to.
That was terrible. When like seven of the builds at like go to the top of a regional or the same thing, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that like I'm glad that that nerf came out, but I'm curious, you know, if one thing that may have been a something that FFG sacrificed, they had this FAQ in the tank and said, all right, if we let this go now, we're not going to get our pre-Worlds FAQ. Hopefully everything turns out okay, and maybe being saved from Nimmer from the super abusive trajectory simulator plus genius may have caused us to not have an FAQ available now. Like, that's completely conjecture and just kind of like,
was
maybe,
that FAQ but, the only one just after the most recent there. Releases?
Yep.
Yeah, that was the only thing we really got. It was funny because all they said was trajectory, and then the said the thing about any of these secondary weapons like a tractor beam or, you know, X-23 tracers or TLT can actually trigger the harpoon condition, and everyone went what? So
yeah, well, they just clarified it, so
which I thought was dumb.
I'm personally okay with it because it made it simpler. Like I said, like, is there a crit in the roll? Yeah, it triggers. Like, we were trying to do this thing with like who has initiative and you go down this flow chart and all that. That just takes it was too much. They simplified it. Is it maybe quote unquote overpowered? That's a whole nother topic and discussion to do. But yeah, so that's just some little like, you know, just trying to think about that FAQ. William, is there anything you want to talk about X-Wing wise? You know, we haven't had you on for a while.
No, the FAQ is interesting. There was a lot of suggestions for it. That's for sure. I don't know it. I don't know. I guess from what I've seen right now, I mean, it's fairly balanced. I mean, it could be worse. It definitely could be worse. So I'll take that.
It could be way worse.
I mean, like we said, like genius trajectory could still be a thing. So I'll take it as it is, I guess, right now without the FAQ.
Well, is it better or worse than the Jump Master meta? The triple jump master.
You know what?
I don't know.
The trip.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Will.
From what I understand, the meta has always had the same staples. Like honestly, compare Miranda or Rey to like Fat Han, and then Kylo to Whisper. Like those crazy builds are always going to be there. It's just taking what you said, Nate, which was like taking the guaranteed kind of broken stuff out of there, and you know, keep it still decision based.
You know, we talked on a lot of different things here, and we have the World Championships coming up. I'm excited. We're going to be streaming from there. At minimum, we'll be doing Thursday, Friday night for the Goldies, and then Saturday up until probably the top four. We did officially get the press pass, so that's good. And
did they say that they wanted to talk to us first too, or?
Yeah, I'm working on trying to get an interview with the developers. That's what that email was for.
But, so we can get some gotcha moments. Can we get them to confirm that Half-Life 3 exists?
you can try.
Old jokes.
You can try. But yeah, there's a lot of X-Wing to come, a lot more content. I'll be dropping this podcast in a couple of day or two. This one actually is going to be pretty easy to put together, so that should be good. I was supposed to upload on last Friday an episode of X-Wing Mind Games. Unfortunately, that didn't get uploaded because as I was trying to export it, the video software like isn't letting me export it. Like I have the raw file, but not like the fancy put together one. So I'm gonna try a couple more times, and worst comes to worst, I just put the raw file up there. But that'd be good. We've been doing our Wednesday night streams, which are lots of fun. But I'm excited for Worlds, man. It's gonna be a good time. And
yeah, do you got any special treatment for the press pass? Got any things planned for that?
So, I mean, besides streaming, that's going to be the biggest thing.
More than that though. If there's anything,
no, they didn't give me anything fancy. Nothing fancy there. Just say they said yes, you may come here and do your thing, Dion. And I was like, thanks.
Let anyone see me stream again.
Yeah, does that mean we're going to be in the corner again?
We'll be in the corner. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I mean,
walking up to you, telling you you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, we'll be in the corner. Though we're bringing our own table this time.
Oh, it's, man.
We're not gonna have that little that little TV dinner table. We'll have a 2x4 table that I'm bringing. That fits everything a lot more comfortably than last time. Well,
how about this? How about we talk about the things that we're excited to do or see, at Worlds this year?
Okay, yeah, we'll do a quick around the horn. Yeah.
Will, why don't you go first, man? I will go first.
Yeah, Will, what are you excited for Worlds?
Oh man, just all the games. I mean, high level games. Getting to see just the sheer amount of competitive players all in one spot facing it out. So I'm pretty excited about that. Can't go wrong with the prize wall. Gotta love the prize wall. I'm pretty excited about trying to get some prizes out for that.
I think we're going to do something different this year, hopefully. That looks kind of a little interesting.
But have they announced anything about it?
Yeah, they announced some stuff about the prize wall, yeah.
Oh, man.
So.
Hopefully I actually get to do the prize wall this time. I was so busy last time, I didn't get anything. I gave you guys some tickets. I'm like, hey, try to find me something, please.
Yeah.
We got my brother some dice. I think that's what we ended up doing.
I ended up standing in line.
Yep. What about you, Nate? What are you looking forward to?
I'm excited to I'm excited to play X-Wing at this main stage and everything, and hopefully do a little bit better than I did last year. Will I win everything? Probably not. But I still just want to do a little bit better. It's gonna be cool to see everyone and actually play some people from around the world. I remember last year I got to play the regional champion of Mexico City. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And just, you know, hanging out with all of our friends from the community. I'm really excited for the party that we're gonna have together and just kind of all hang out and
oh man, the Goldies are gonna be crazy.
That's gonna be so that's what I'm looking forward to. That's gonna be a lot of fun. I have a feeling just hanging out everyone and playing some really fun games. Like last time we got together for the Michigan and everything, the system open, we played Spartacus and it just got ridiculous and it was so much fun. So yeah, those are all the things. So the base of the people and the games and definitely the Gold Squadron podcast party.
Yeah, I'm excited for the people, of course. I mean, that's my favorite part, is just being able to talk to people and shaking the hands of the people who support us. Like, it's always good to put a face to a name. Like, I see these people's names all the time when I'm shipping them out the cards and things. And a lot of them, I like when they say their name in person, I'm like, I could tell you what state you live in because I've seen your address, a bajillion times. But that's cool. I am excited for the Goldies, but I'm also nervous. I'm nervous because this is something that in my mind, I'm like, it's something small, not a big deal. And I was like, well, let me add a little bit here. It's escalating.
Then it might turn into something really cool.
I'm hoping that it is cool.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there's that thing where I don't want to put expectations too high because I don't know.
Well, whose expectations? Yours or other people's?
Well, other people's, because like I know for myself, like this being year one, it's a test. It's kind of like a dipping the toe in and saying, all right, let's see what you guys like. We'll get some suggestions and we'll make it better next year. Like, I don't want to disappoint people because people are like,
so it's the beta. We all know it's beta.
It is the beta for sure. And I just don't want anybody to be like, yeah, this sucked. there is a very finite budget to it because it's something completely extra that we're doing that isn't part of the Gold Squadron podcast budget. Like, it really isn't. It's something I was like, all right, let's, I'm putting some money from my own and saying, let's try to put on something for the community. So hopefully that goes well. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I saw that list of nominees, and you can't put all of those people in the same room and have a bad time.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When I finished it, I was like, this looks like just a fun list of people. And again, even if you're not nominated, you're welcome to come and hang out. Like, this is not like we're not going to have bodyguards or anything. Like, they're there. Anybody's welcome to come.
Who would be the next vote? Who would be the best bodyguard? Paul Heaver, hands down.
No, it's Zach Matthews.
No, Zach Matthews is definitely the best bouncer.
No, I'm trying to be sarcastic. Like, the world's best. Oh. The world's worst bodyguard.
I don't know, man. Paul can be pretty serious. I don't know.
I know he can be serious. Maybe he'd give you that look like, don't.
Oh, he just tell you he's disappointed in you.
Mm. Oh, then you feel bad.
Oh, my God. That'd be the worst kind of bodyguard. You're just like... disappointed you. Oh, the feels and the heart. No, Paul, why?
But yeah, that should be cool. We're gonna have hopefully I'm working on a couple things, but all Gold Squadron members will have some exclusive world swag that we're gonna be handing out.
Yeah,
all of our opponents. So find if you play against Will, if you play against Nate, Marcel, any of our other guys, you got Francois, Darwin, Brandon, they will have something for you, Lord willing.
Allie will have some stuff too then. Cool.
Oh yeah, Allie, for sure. Everybody who's Gold Squadron will have something, just a little memento, just to say it's cool to see at Worlds.
Thanks for playing us.
So if you can watch our live X-Wing events, including Worlds coming up here on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. We are going to have some guest commentators on Thursday. Who are they going to be? I don't know yet because it depends on who's available on Thursday. I'll be there on Friday, hopefully not Saturday because I'm going to be playing. That's right. What?
Where we juggle this now?
I don't know. So that's the plan there. I'm still ironing out some of those details. You can watch all of our X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Just go ahead, look up Gold Squadron Podcast. Please go ahead and subscribe there. And lastly, if you enjoy our show and you want to continue expanding, helping us expand our content, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron, join the biggest group of people who support our content. They get it's about quarterly some swag where we have the Fenrau alt art and Brobots cartoon alt art, which are currently in production. You can become a Twitch Prime subscriber super easy. You just connect your Amazon Prime to Twitch. You click a button and you give away free money. It's literally free money. And if you are a Twitch Prime subscriber and it's been 30 days since you clicked that button, if you could do me a favor, click it again. It's greatly appreciated. It makes a huge difference. And you can also go to goldsquadronpodcast.com and buy some of our swag there. We're currently having a big sale because of Worlds, 50% off anything over $20 or more. So basically you spend $20, it becomes 10.
What do we have on the site, by the way?
Like all of our, not all of our, but every available alt art card. We got stickers.
Can you save me one of the Noras? Do we have any Noras left?
The Noras are gone. They've been gone for a while, man. Yeah, those are gorgeous. They've been gone. And I'm not reprinting any of them. So once they're gone,
they're gone.
Yeah. And so thank you very much, everybody, for listening. For Marcel. Sorry, not Marcel. Marcel's not here. Actually, he was here in the beginning of the stream for the pre-show for just like a little bit. But just a little bit. But
probably just on Vassal.
No, he's in Mexico.
Oh, that's right.
He's on a plane flying from Mexico home right now. For Nate and William, my name is Dion Morales. Gold Squadron out.